We're going to stray from the book of Acts today, and I've decided to preach on an unforgettable American day. It has to do with 9/11. Today is the 21st anniversary of that event. 21 years ago. And I'd like to begin by recognizing police, firemen, deputies, first responder, medical responders, and all in the military. If you fall within these categories, would you please stand? If you fall within one of these categories, please stand, and let's give them a big hand. Amen. 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 Do you remember where you were on 9/11 21 years ago? How many of you thought that it was a little plane flying into the side of the building initially? That thought crossed your mind. Well, I'm sure it crossed many people's minds. It was an unforgettable day. My father went into the Navy, I believe, in 1944. He passed away in 1995. Tom Brokaw calls this World War II generation the greatest generation, and I believe it. The unforgettable day for this generation would be December 7th, 1941, which, of course, as most of you know, was the bombing of Pearl Harbor. That event motivated thousands in that generation to join the military and unite in an effort to protect their families and to free the world from a tyranny that was around the globe at that time. Before the early service this morning, I was speaking with Jason Bromley, and he shared with me something that I don't ever recall him sharing with me before. He's in the Army, and Jason was in law school when this happened. It was a law school up in Massachusetts, I believe. He was in his second year of law school, and when 9/11 happened, that's what motivated him to join the Army. And he did. He joined the Army, and he's been an officer for years now, and he's a lawyer in the Army. But that day motivated him, like so many others, to join the military. The 9/11-01 attack on America would be executed by terrorists who hijacked American passenger planes that caused the devastation. This was a day that would change our country. Almost 3,000 people lost their lives that day, and thousands of others would be heartbroken over the loss of loved ones. I think the farther we get from an event like that, the easier it is for people to forget. And we must not forget. I'll tell you who's not forgotten. It's those families of the victims at the Pentagon and in New York and on that countryside in Pennsylvania where that plane crashed. They have not forgotten this morning. And neither should any of us. I've got 4 points this morning. My first point is this day was a day that gave Americans perspective. You know, one of the best ways to appreciate what you have is to lose it, or almost lose it. It's easy to take for granted what we have. When people in America got up that morning to board an airline flight or to go to work at one of the Twin Towers or the Pentagon, they had no idea what was about to happen. No matter where any of us were that day, it would provide for us an unforgettable day that will stay branded upon our lives for the rest of our lives. Let me share with you something from a website called Expect the Unexpected. It's a poem. This poem was written 3 days after 9/11 by Paul Spreadbury. I'm going to read part of it. On Monday we emailed jokes, on Tuesday we did not. On Monday we thought that we were secure, on Tuesday we learned better. On Monday, we were talking about heroes as being athletes. On Tuesday, we relearned who our heroes are. On Monday, we were irritated that our rebate checks had not arrived. On Tuesday, we gave money away to people we had never met. On Monday, there were people fighting against praying in schools. On Tuesday, you would have been hard-pressed to find a school where someone was not praying. On Monday, people argue with their kids about picking up their room. On Tuesday, the same people could not get home fast enough to hug their kids. On Monday, people were upset that they had to wait 6 minutes in a fast food drive-through line. On Tuesday, people didn't care about waiting up to 6 hours to give blood for the dying. On Monday, we waved our flag, signifying our cultural diversity. On Tuesday, we waved only the American flag. That was quite a day. It was a day that gave all of us perspective. It was also a day of heroism. Many of us will remember the phrase, "Let's roll." Remember that? It was spoken by a guy named Todd Beamer, who with others died trying to overpower the hijackers on the plane that would crash in Pennsylvania. This plane would not be driven into a building by the terrorists and potentially kill hundreds of innocent people. I think there was some speculation that this plane was headed either for the White House or for the Capitol. I don't know. But praise God for those brave people who, at the expense of their own lives, very likely saved hundreds of others. That was United Airlines Flight 93. Another hero of that terrible Tuesday is a guy named Chris Brayman. Many of you probably have never met Chris. Some of you will remember Chris and his family because you've met him here at Calvary Road years ago. Chris, his wife Samaria, and their family were attending Calvary Road because of an invitation by someone who also was attending here. Samaria knew the Lord, but her husband Chris, who was a soldier in the army, did not know the Lord. Buzz Hines had invited them to his class, and they began attending before 9/11. Chris was at the Pentagon when the plane crashed into the side of our Pentagon on that day. Chris began to run in and out of the Pentagon, bringing people out. He was bringing people out that he didn't even know they were alive or dead. But Chris kept going back into the Pentagon and bringing people out. As a result of his heroism, Chris experienced lung damage and was eventually retired from the Army. On that same day, now remember, Chris had been attending church here with his family. On that same day, Chris prayed to trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. He had remembered the prayer that he had heard me pray at the services. You know that prayer I pray at the end of our services? Obviously, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, brought that to his mind. And he prayed that prayer to receive Christ as his Savior. And later, I baptized Chris right here in this baptistry. To God be the glory. That was a day of tremendous heroism, but it was also a day when many Americans wanted to help one another. John chapter 15, verse 12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." On the following Saturday, our church was participating in a simulcast led by Dr. John Maxwell. On the simulcast, John raised an offering for the victims and their families. That was a very, very heartfelt, precious thing that John would do. The offering came to almost $6 million. There was tremendous participation in that offering. They divided the offering into three parts. Two parts would go to two different churches in New York, and the other part would be given to our church here at Calvary Road to distribute to the families of the victims of the Pentagon. Ned Shepperson was one of three that would be in charge of the distribution of those funds. I think the funds that we received came to about $1.9 million. And I don't recall how many families that were represented concerning the number of victims that were killed. Ned, I'm sure, could probably share that with you, but I'm so thankful that Ned and these two others that had took on that task. I think they had a very difficult time getting information from the Pentagon concerning the names of the families that they would want to contact to give them some of these funds. But they did it, and they succeeded. And Ned I'm sure the others began to make calls and to make visits and appointments to visit the families of the victims of the Pentagon. Ned and Dottie were in the 9:30 service this morning, and I asked Ned, I believe I asked him what was the average gift that was given on our behalf to these families, and he said $60,000. Don't you know that that was a blessing to these families at the time? And it was an opportunity that our church had to express love and appreciation for them and to be a consoling factor in their lives. To God be the glory. But it was a day that people wanted to help one another, remember? But my final point is, it was a day that gave Americans a great awareness of their need for God. It was a day that gave Americans a great awareness of their need for God. America has come a long way the wrong way. Possibly not since the attack on Pearl Harbor has America been more aware of their need for God than on September 11, 2001. Have you ever heard anybody say, why would God allow America to be attacked like that? One of Billy Graham's daughters responded, and I quote her, "We have put God out of our schools. We have removed him from our lawns at Christmas time by outlawing nativity scenes, and we have removed the Ten Commandments from public places. We need to make up our minds, do we want God or not?" You know, affluence has a way of causing people to forget God. In a way, the World Trade Center can represent the prosperity of our country. It all came crashing down within a short time after being hit by those planes. And we need to remember that. Our confidence need not be in our portfolios. Our confidence must not be in our retirements. Our confidence must not be in money or the things that we own. Our confidence must be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Earthly riches will fly away like a bird. Psalm chapter 20, verse 7 says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Psalm 62, 6 says, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, I shall not be moved." Proverbs 14, 26 states, "In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge." Our son Chris was on staff at that time. Chris was working with our young adults. Chris left here in 06, and some of our people went with him to plant a church, and he's now pastoring near Potomac Mills. But on that day, the following Wednesday, Chris, who was one of our pastors at the time, was invited to come to a local government building to serve as a grief counselor. It was a government building down on Walker Lane. The following Sunday, some of you who have been here a long, long time, which probably would be very few of you all these years, some of you will recall how packed that church was. Oh my goodness. People went to church, but it was not just us. It was churches all across our country. Churches were packed. It was probably the largest attendance that the American church has known in many, many years. We had a surge in attendance. I don't recall anyone trying to stop prayer in our schools at this time. I don't recall anyone wanting to stop prayer anywhere. Remember on the Capitol steps, Democrats and Republicans, I believe they joined hands and they were unified, I believe, in prayer. Boy, we've come a long way the wrong way, haven't we? Do you recall how short a time some people came to church? Sure, certainly they rushed to church the following Sunday after 9/11, but my goodness, it didn't take long for many to stop coming. Now, God's people kept on coming. The salt of the earth, the light, those who want to shine for Christ, they kept it coming. The born-again people of God kept on coming, and they're still coming. But, oh my goodness, so many people began to back off. How quickly we forget. How quickly we must not forget. Let me share with you something from a website, Words of Hope and Help. It's a prayer written by Max Locato for America Prays, a national prayer vigil held Saturday, September 15th. 2001. It's a great prayer, and here it is. Dear Lord, we're still hoping we'll wake up. We're still hoping we'll open a sleepy eye and think, what a horrible dream. But we won't, will we, Father? What we saw was not a dream. Planes did gouge towers. Flames did consume our fortress. People did perish. It was no dream, and dear Father, we are sad. There's a ballet dancer who will no longer dance and a doctor who will no longer heal. A church has lost her priest. A classroom is minus a teacher. Cora ran a food pantry. Paige was a counselor, and Dana, dearest Father, Dana was only 3 years old. Who held her in those final moments? We're sad, Father, for as the innocent are buried, our innocence is buried as well. We thought we were safe. Perhaps we should have known better, but we didn't. And so we come to you. We don't ask you for help. We beg you for it. We don't request it. We implore it. We know what you can do. We've read the accounts. We've pondered the stories. And now we plead, do it again, Lord. Do it again. Remember Joseph? You rescued him from the pit. You can do the same for us. Do it again, Lord. Remember the Hebrews of Egypt or in Egypt? You protected their children from the angel of death. We have children too, Lord. Do it again. And Sarah, remember her prayers? You heard them. Joshua, remember his fears? You inspired him. The women at the tomb, you resurrected their hope. The doubts of Thomas, you took them away. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. You changed Daniel from a captive into a king's counselor. You took Peter the fisherman and made him Peter the apostle or an apostle. Because of you, David went from leading sheep to leading armies. Do it again, Lord, for we need counselors today. Lord, we need apostles. We need leaders. Do it again, dear Lord. Most of all, do it again. Most of all, do again what you did at Calvary. What we saw here on that Tuesday, you saw there on that Friday. Innocence slaughtered. Goodness murdered. Mothers weeping. Evil dancing. Just as the ash fell on our children, the darkness fell on your Son. Just as our towers were shattered, the very tower of eternity was pierced. And by dusk, heaven's sweetest song was silent, buried behind a rock. But you did not waver, O Lord. You did not waver. After 3 days in a dark hole, you rolled the rock and rumbled the earth and turned the darkest Friday into the brightest Sunday. Do it again, Lord. Grant us a September Easter. We thank you, dear Father, for these hours of unity. Disaster has done what discussion could not. Doctrinal fences have fallen. Republicans are standing with Democrats. Skin colors have been covered by the ash of burning buildings. We thank you for these hours of unity. And we thank you for these hours of prayer. The enemy sought to bring us to our knees and succeeded. He had no idea, however, that we would kneel before you, and he has no idea what you can do. Let your mercy be upon our president, vice president, and their families. Grant to those who lead us wisdom beyond their years and experience. Have mercy upon the souls who have departed and the wounded who remain. Give us grace that we might forgive and faith that we might believe. And look kindly upon your church. For 2,000 years you've used her to heal a hurting world. Do it again, Lord. Do it again through Christ. Amen. Right now, I think it would be good for us to remember that our nation needs a spiritual awakening. In centuries past, our country has experienced spiritual awakenings. Let's pray that God will do it again. This century has not experienced a spiritual awakening. Far from it. The 20th century did not experience a spiritual awakening. Very sad. But the century before that, the 19th century did. You had D.L. Moody, whose life God had placed his hand upon to shake two continents with the gospel, America and England. You had Jonathan Edwards, I believe, in the previous century, and oh, how God used him in a powerful way. Who will it be in this century? Or will it be in this century? I know this, God answers prayer. You say, some feel probably we're too far gone. We're just too immoral. We're just too far gone. Let me remind you, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Who would have ever thought that Roe versus Wade would have been changed and turned around? Who would have ever thought that? I believe personally that that's the result of decades of prayers on behalf of God's people. Decades of prayers. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. What I would like to see for my family, for my children and grandchildren, is for them to know the America that I have known. I would like for them to have the freedoms that we have right now. There are those who would like to rob us of those freedoms. There are those who would like to expel God completely from this country. But this country still has a lot of salt and light. This country still has a lot of people that are going to church, that are praying, that are supporting their pastors, that are supporting missionaries around the world, that are making an impact for the glory of God. And we're one of those churches. But we need to pray. What does the Bible say? If my people who are called by my name, if my people who are called by my name shall pray, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and forgive their sin. And what? Heal their land. And nothing short of a work of the Lord will save our country. Certainly we need to go to the polls and vote for those that are closest to the teachings of God's Word. We always need to be doing that, but nothing short of a movement of God on our land will make a difference, and we're to pray. Therefore, I'd like for us all to stand at this time. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and I'm going to kneel right here at this altar. This entire area here is going to be an altar this morning. And I'm going to kneel and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray for a spiritual awakening in our country. And I'm going to pray for the families of the victims of 9/11. Don't you think that would be appropriate this morning? They haven't forgotten. A man after the 9/11 30 service who just recently came to Christ here. He told me that he knows of a man who perished that day, and they know his wife. And they're going to try to make, I believe they're going to try to make contact with her. How many of you know someone or a family or a relative or a friend of someone who perished on that day? Anybody? Know anybody? Well, it was, I'm not sure how many perished at the Pentagon. And of course, this is a very transient area here. A lot of folks come and go here, and no doubt many of the families who lost loved ones on that day have moved out of the area over the years. But this morning, they all remember, and we need to remember them. So I'm going to get down here, and we're going to have a time of prayer, and I want you to pray with me for a spiritual awakening in our country and for a spiritual awakening in our church, in the hearts of our people. You see, we just don't go to church. We are the church. We are the church of Jesus Christ. The church is the people. And it is the people that makes a difference. And we're to claim our circles of influence with the gospel. And we're to do our best to get people to Jesus. We know the Lord's going to come soon. And the best thing that we can do is to get as many people ready for heaven as we can before the Lord comes.